welcome back to Cancel 38. My name is Claire.
I'm Macy.
And today we have a very, very special guest. This is my roommate, Alessandra. Yes. If you want to introduce yourself, tell us your grade, your major maybe, how you ended up at St. Mary's.
Well, I'm Alessandra. I ended up here because I'm a transfer student. I'm actually an art history major, so if you love art, I'm your girl. But yes. So I had gone to a women's college for a semester before I transferred to St. Mary's. So, and they had implemented their own diversity policy that St. Mary's is also really dying to add in. So I kind of come with a unique experience having already been to a women's college that has a diversity policy very similar to what St. Mary's wanted to implement.
So what is, this is called Hollins?
Hollins University in Roanoke, Virginia.
And it's a private college.
Yes, it's a private college only for women. It used to be the premier women's college of the South. It was very well known throughout the women's college, I guess. How do you say, like, repertoire? Something,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, for yeah. all the women's colleges. Mm-hmm. But in 2019, they had changed their policy, diversity policy, so that if girls, while they were at Hollins, decided that they were non-binary, trans, they wouldn't be forced to leave Hollins, which ended up gaining a loophole for girls where they would apply. They would click, yes, I'm a woman, and I've had girls tell me this at Hollins. And the second they step on campus, they're like, you know what? I use they, them pronouns. I'm actually a man, and I'm here to stay at Hollins, and you can't kick me out.
So were there biological men there who identified as women?
No, there were not. Within the policy, there are, like, there is an allowance for biological men who live and identify as women to come to Hollins. I believe the year before me, there was a biological man at Hollins. Mm-hmm. However, what I had heard from girls there is that he sexually assaulted women, and so he was kicked out
of
Hollins.
Very,
so very interesting that the only biological man who identified as a woman came to Hollins and sexually assaulted the women there.
So I wonder if, like, it got to that point where they were like, oh shoot, this is gonna start happening, and they were like, maybe we shouldn't accept biological men.
You know, I have no idea, because the messaging around Hollins was that this was a very normal thing. I mean, when I came there, it was very apparent to me immediately within my orientation that because I wasn't gay, bisexual, pansexual, that I was cisgendered and that I didn't identify as non-binary or as a man or even using she, they pronouns, that I was immediately on the out. Like, I used to joke that I didn't get the pamphlet that I had to be gay to go there because the girls just were genuinely extremely confused why I was there as a straight woman. Mm-hmm. So, because the school wasn't for me.
Yeah.
It was for them.
So there was a lot of interesting things you went through as being someone not like the rest.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Please tell.
So I just for context, like, I'm very vocal about being pro-life. And so usually if you follow me on social media, like, you will see that pop up on my stories a lot. And so I would be posting about being pro-life, and I went to Hollins just, why would I change my social media habits for that? Like, obviously there are people that are left-leaning, there are people that are right-leaning, there are people in the middle. Like, when you go to college, I didn't expect it all to be conservative girls and it was going to be this amazing camaraderie. Mm-hmm. I just was expecting to find like-minded people. So I didn't think about changing my habits when I went to a women's college. Mm-hmm. But then once I got there, again, for context, the app Yik Yak, which is anonymous posting platform.
Oh my gosh.
It's so childish.
People talk about us on there.
But Hollins loved Yik Yak. And this was even before, like, you could pick, like, what college you belong to. Like, it was just, like, within the 5-mile radius or whatever. But they loved it. So much so that the college that semester I was there actually banned Yik Yak on app Wi-Fi. Like, because of bullying, because of how bad the girls would bully other girls on this app.
My gosh.
So it was orientation. They found me out super quickly being conservative because I was, you know, scrolling on there, like, during an orientation activity, and I saw that there one post said, there's a pro-life girl on campus. And immediately my heart sunk because I already knew, like, it was apparent that I was the odd one out. And I was like, wow, they're posting about me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some hate comments, who doesn't have those when you're conservative and vocal about it? So I didn't think much of it until I saw it was like, oh, there's 10 comments on the string. And so I clicked on it. And girls were like, oh, yeah, I hate that girl. Like, it's horrible, you know, profanities, whatever. But then I saw one, which was like, yeah, she lives in Tinker Dorm, second floor, this hallway.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just, I mean, it was definitely a moment of you gotta grow up, kid. Because I just realized, like, they had doxed me. Mm-hmm. They posted where I lived on campus. And, I mean, I contacted my RA. You know, like, what do? I told my parents, but because it was an anonymous platform, there was nothing that they could do. Mm-hmm. And because they didn't specifically put my room number, even though they said the dorm, the floor, and they had, like, three hallways. Excuse me, I just, like, spit everywhere.
No, you're good.
Three hallways that, like, they wouldn't know it was me because they didn't put my exact room number, but they put all those other pieces of information.
Do you guys have names on your doors?
Yes.
Okay, well.
So, because they didn't specifically say my name and because they didn't specifically say my room number, they said that there's nothing that they could do because it's not technically me. But everybody knows who I am.
Interesting. How early on was this?
It was, like, the first week I was there. It was during my orientation week. So, it was immediate rejection and, like, shunning from this group of girls. And, I mean, everything there was so hypersexualized. Part of the reason why, like, I had to leave was because, you know, I couldn't make friends with any of the girls because if I made friends with any of the girls or would hang out with them or get lunch with them, they would automatically assume that I was sleeping with them. So
that is so horrible.
I mean, like, girls would draw pornographic images on their whiteboards. They were obsessed
with it. And was it, like, in an artsy type of way or, like,
no,
straight up just, like, weird
no.
fetish?
No, it was, like, fetishes of, like, they would, there were, like, ceramic made, like, someone made the time to make ceramic boobs and put it in our stairwell.
Hmm.
Like.
No, because, like, why would you take the time to do that?
What do you get out of that?
It was just very weird. I mean, the whole thing was one big sexual fetish.
Mm-hmm.
And the so girls weird. That were, like, straight, like, I remember when I went to transfer, the director of diversity actually came to, like, speak with me. Like, she made an appointment with me, and I was expecting it to be horrible and, like, called that I was a horrible person because I was conservative and that I wasn't welcome at the school because I wasn't promoting diversity in the way that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But she was actually very understanding and said that she meets with multiple girls that stay at Hollins because they enjoy their education and the mm-hmm. programs that they have. However, they tell girls that they're bisexual, so they won't get bullied. Like, ooh. I mean, what world were these girls living in where they had to claim a sexual orientation that they were not
That's so weird.
To not get bullied
That's
and not
really
to be
sad.
Shunned. So that was the universe I was in for a semester, and thankfully I'm out now, so.
Did anything happen with them, like, sharing your room location?
Yes. So, I mean, I went to boarding school, so I lived in a dorm environment for 4 years. And the concept of, like, locking your door when you left for class and, like, locking your door when you slept wasn't a big deal. I would lock my door when I went to class because, obviously, it's college. People steal things. Like, there isn't as much mutual respect as, like, 15-year-old girls, like, living mm-hmm. in a dorm together. But I wouldn't lock my door when I slept. I honestly didn't even think about it. Even with the doxing, I didn't think about it, you know? I just wasn't mature enough to realize. I guess I was naive in thinking that people would respect my personal space,
mm-hmm.
which clearly they were not interested in doing that. And so sometimes I would wake up and, like, my door would be open, and I'd be just confused. I would just wake up to, like, hearing my door open. Didn't think much of it.
It's a draft.
Like, it's a draft. Like, you know, it's an old dorm. You know, the mm-hmm. school has been around for a while. So I wasn't thinking necessarily anything of it until one time I woke up to hearing my door open, but somebody was in my doorway. So clearly, girls were coming into my room. in the night. I don't know if it was one person in particular. I don't know if they lived in the same dorm.
That's so scary.
And it's easy to write it off and say, like, oh, maybe they just stumbled into the wrong room. Like, but
not
I was hearing it
like that.
Over and over and over again. So clearly people were perpetually doing this to me as intimidation.
So was this, like, the number one thing that you were finally like, okay, I need to get out of here? Like, what was the number one thing that, like, pushed you away and said it's time to transfer?
I hate to say immediately with the orientation activities, it was extremely brutal, particularly with their, like, common sex, drugs, alcohol talk that we were given, and then the Title IX conversation. And so when we were going over the Title IX policy there, obviously it has to do with sexual assault and the contacts that you can reach, like if you have been sexually assaulted. And there are surrounding colleges in the area, like Roanoke College and Virginia Tech. So girls would go out to like parties there and like go meet friends there. So it wouldn't be uncommon to like have a sexual assault situation with those other colleges, since they were like within 30 minutes of Hollins. But whenever they would talk about it, they would reference girls getting sexually assaulted by other girls on campus. And so it immediately felt like if for whatever reason I was sexually assaulted by a guy while I was at Hollins, that they wouldn't have the resources for me, which I felt was strange.
That is really strange.
I didn't get that impression from them. And that there was a likelihood that I would only be sexually assaulted by women while at Hollins. And at least my experience here at St. Mary's, I know they don't go around saying that, like, girls are sexually assaulting other girls. So there was clearly a culture where there was a lot of sexual habits of, like, being, like, imposing of each other, like, without consent.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just normal. So Hollins had put on a sex, drugs, alcohol talk, which is not uncommon during any college's orientation, talking about STDs, birth control, underage drinking. That's all very common. So that was normal for me to see. But what was striking when it came to the sex portion of the conversation, they had us pull our sexuality. I thought that was strange, because if we're talking about STDs and preventing pregnancy, it's usually within heterosexual relationships. But, you know, if we're talking about homosexual relationships, then there's still STDs to be involved. So I was so confused on that. But they polled us, when I thought, you could just lay out the general information. Why would you poll us? And so, you know, you go on, take the quiz, say, like, I'm straight.
So weird.
Very weird. So just within our freshman class, only maybe 5% of people said that they were interested in any context having a heterosexual relationship.
Oh my gosh.
And the rest were combinations of, like, pansexuality and just general homosexual desires. And so that was extremely shocking, because I didn't realize at that point either that I was in such a minority of being straight there. And after that came out, like, it became very apparent that sex was always a part of the conversation with these girls. I would go to team dinners, because I was on the swim and lacrosse team, and particularly the lacrosse girls had, like, during dinner were going around asking if, like, I would kiss them.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, like, they would ask me if I would kiss them, and, like, come on, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I would just have general lunches with girls, like, during that orientation week and further, that I knew through, like, my classes and stuff. And they would talk about, like, okay, well, you haven't found the right woman yet. They literally said that to me. You just haven't found the right woman yet. And I was like, no, I have a very long-term boyfriend. I'm not, I'm not really interested.
Yeah.
Like, I'm straight. Like, and, you know, I wasn't questioning them about their sexuality. Frankly, it's none of my business. Why would I sit down, eat my salad, and say, so, do you like sleeping with women?
Yeah.
It's just such a weird conversation to have, like, around the dinner table, especially. At any time, really.
At any time. It was just, like, 11 a.m., do you want to kiss me type of
that is bizarre
situation.
Weird.
So, it was very bizarre.
So after having, like, all of these experiences at Hollins, and, you know, obviously, like, you had some pretty traumatic experiences, and this is, like, an all-women's college, mm-hmm. no biological men, does it ever make you think, like, how much worse things would, if it's already that bad at Hollins,
yes.
how much worse it would be if they were enrolling biological men who claimed to be women?
It would 100% be worse. I mean, they already had a case of sexual assault that was occurring on their campus. And I think it's naive for colleges and college admissions in particular to think that sexual assault won't happen mm-hmm. if men are brought into a space of only women, especially within the dorm environment. You could see that, like, they must have, and I heard from other girls that, like, there were already cases of sexually assaulting, like, women on women. Mm-hmm. And so adding a man to that mixture within a dorm environment would be exponentially worse. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, it was very hard seeing all these women within this space sort of, like, feeding into each other's delusions. Like, mm-hmm. they were allowing themselves to be, if you want to talk about confirmation bias, they were within this bubble only receiving information that they wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. And anybody like me who was an outsider who didn't share their beliefs, they were automatically in the wrong. They were shunned out. Those girls transfer. Because they weren't supposed to be there.
It just, like, makes me think about, like, you know, obviously we have a very public room number, as mm-hmm. it is literally the name of our podcast.
Yes.
But it just makes me think, like, you know, we go to an all-girls college, mm-hmm. and we have all biological women here, and, you know, we already fear for our safety as it
yes.
is. We already have our, yes. you know, room locked 24/7 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me think, like, if we had biological men here who thought they were women, first of all, that's a mental illness, so that's, you know, a little bit concerning, but it would make me fear my safety a million times more. Because at least yes. we know, you know, we're on the same biological levelness as mm. the other women who are at yeah. the college.
Because if I spoke my truth to a man that believed that he was a woman, I would not use she, her pronouns
mm-hmm. yeah.
for him. And that would be totally outside of my moral line. It's not mm-hmm. just because I'm Catholic. It's because I believe that there's a mental illness that needs to be addressed there. And I'm not willing to feed into yeah. other people's delusions. I wasn't willing to call those girls there that they were men. I was not willing to use their non-binary mm-hmm. pronouns. And people can say, like, that's a horrible thing to do. I don't even know what you would call that. What's the ism for that? Like,
right.
But transphobic, but yeah. I don't think that any of that is hatred. I think that's out of love for these people. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah,
no, we get it. Because I mean, like, no, like, a lot of the left today will say, like, oh, you know, use, you know, my preferred pronouns, that's hateful, you're
right, blah, blah, blah. Right.
Like, I mean, like you just said, like, it's like, it comes from a place of love, because we're not going to affirm or, you know, their delusion, you know?
And if they have the physical strength of men, and, I mean, clearly people, like, are willing to resort to intimidation, like, mm-hmm. opening your door while you're sleeping to intimidate you.
Mm-hmm. So weird.
How much farther will a biological man go to yeah. make you affirm their delusion?
Exactly.
So I gotta ask, coming from Hollins, coming from that...
Yes.
What's your take on everything happening here, if you could summarize it?
I think St. Mary's, while it's very difficult to appreciate what we have going for us now, because there's so much wrong that's happening on St. Mary's campus, mm-hmm. and so much going against our Catholic identity. However, we really need to be, first, grateful that we haven't implemented a diversity policy like this. Whenever mm-hmm. I share my experience with girls, they tend to be much more appreciative of what St. Mary's is like right now.
100%.
Because that's what Hollins used to be for many women. I mean, I got introduced to the school because of a family friend that loved Hollins mm-hmm. and very much cherished her experience there. So I think we need to be grateful for what St. Mary's has, and we need to be able to learn from other women's colleges and people who have experiences like mine. I mean, I'm not the only woman that has experienced this like trauma because of a women's college that mm-hmm. had lied to them and said that mm-hmm. they were something that they weren't. And so when St. Mary's talks about implementing a diversity policy in which trans women would be accepted here at St. Mary's, it's, they're coming out of a place where they think somehow that diversity will be loving and inclusive, but really you are going to drive women out of the school like us, who are intelligent and very much worthy of a safe space within a women's college, and drive them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they want diversity of sexual orientation, they want diversity of race, they want diversity of gender, but in actuality, diversity happens within each specific individual. Mm. Diversity of thought is much more important mm-hmm. than focusing on stereotyping people based off of their sexual orientation and their race
mm-hmm.
and their gender. So if we're talking about exclusivity, like, this is a women's college. It's meant for women. Mm-hmm. And to think that all women think the same, first of all, is not right. We don't all think the same. So I think we need to be grateful for what St. Mary's has, like, now, and we need to really be careful and learn from people's experiences mm-hmm. and share, like, this isn't what you think it's going to be. I mean, Dr. Hinton, the president of Hollins, she's actually a very amazing practicing Catholic woman. I love her. I think she's great. She was very supportive for me during this experience, but she was also shielded by all this information.
Yeah.
When I came to meet with her, like, she almost cried when I was telling her mm-hmm. all this. Like, her administration kept her in the dark because they wanted her to believe that this was an amazing mm-hmm. implementation of diversity, but in reality it was hurting girls like me.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow. I mean, I think this is just very eye-opening, and we do need to be very appreciative that, you know, St. Mary's did backtrack on the policy, because, you mm-hmm. know, we don't want to go down the path of what St. Mary's could have been, but we need to, you know, uphold our Catholic identity and remain strong and keep fighting for the women who are real women on campus.
Yes.
Preach.
So I think that's it. I think that's all we have to cover today. Thank you so much for coming.
Of course.
Very grateful that we got to talk about this.
Yeah,
definitely. 100%. Cool.
That's all we have today.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.